Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Wennergren, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Information, Management, and Technology, and Deputy CIO. Also joining us on our conversation is Linda Marshall, partner in IBM's Defense Industry Practice. Dave, you are the Vice Chair of the CIO Council. Can you tell us about the Council's role and responsibilities and its initiatives to address federal IT challenges?
Sure. In our last segment, we were talking about a couple of books, and the role of the Federal CIO Council reminds me of another one, it's The Power of Alignment by George Labovitz and Victor Rozansky. And it's a powerful book about the key issue that faces us all today, and that is, how are you aligned as an organization? And in the book, they talk about, you know, what's the main thing that you do? And understanding your main thing, then you can work on issues of alignment both horizontally and vertically. And in a sense, that's what the Federal CIO Council is all about. It is the forum where CIOs from every federal agency can get together to achieve alignment and sustain alignment, to share ideas, to share best practices, to not go it alone. And, you know, there's a healthy amount of stealing of each other's ideas, and that's what it's all about. So I've been really fortunate to be involved in the Federal CIO Council. It's the way that we implement the president's management agenda. It's the way we collaborate and share ideas. I have this great opportunity working with Karen Evans, who's the OMB information technology leader and the chair of the council with me. And it's all about strategic use of information. We have three committees. We have a committee that focuses on architecture and infrastructure issues. We have a workforce committee, which has done an outstanding job. And then we have a best practices committee. It's wonderful because the group meets regularly. And so as issues emerge, like pressing issues that we have today about privacy and security, CIOs are able to volunteer time and resources to help resolve those kinds of issues.
With the evolution of the global threat environment and the many challenges associated with it, how do you envision DOD and its information technology efforts evolving in, say, the next 5 years to meet these challenges?
You know, I do a strategic plan. I try to get the team to focus on the next 2 years because the farther out you go in the IT world, the world becomes fuzzier and fuzzier. 5 years doesn't seem like much when it comes time for doing Department of Defense budgets, but it's a great length of time in terms of all the wonderful innovations that take place. But as I look in my crystal ball, the importance of the web is huge. And we will continue a rapid migration to portals and web services. And again, that speaks to the security issues then that we've already touched on about the sustainability and survivability of a global enterprise network that relies upon the commercial sector. And it speaks to the issues of can I trust the data? Is there integrity of the knowledge that I'm using? Because not being able to trust the data is as bad as not having the connection. The other idea is, of course, we're all in this together. And so we've got to keep looking for ways to raise the bar in collaboration and raise the bar in security across government, with industry, with other governments, with academia. And I guess the last part is that people need to keep their eyes on the innovations of the future. What often begins as something that seems recreational only actually fosters collaboration. I'm intrigued by YouTube. I'm intrigued by Second Life. Second Life, which seems like a game to most people my age, is really like this virtual reality that companies like IBM have been huge users of. I understand they have like 2,000 accounts to do virtual online collaboration. I think that's a fascinating example of the kind of thought leadership that IBM has had in this business. There's a hotel chain that uses Second Life to do virtual floor plans and see how the 6 million inhabitants of Second Life traverse. Two countries have embassies on Second Life now, Maldives and Sweden, and Reuters has a, you know, news desk. Now, if you're an old-fashioned guy, you know, you might look at that and say, well, Second Life is, you know, this video game. But Second Life is actually this innovative new way to collaborate. And so we have to keep our eyes focused on the non-traditional ways of helping to get to the future quicker.
So, Dave, with innovation and transformation, these things create new competitive areas, new competencies, new ways of having to do business. What qualities will be needed in the warfighter of the future and those IT staff who provide support? And to that end, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain high-quality technical and professional workforce that are willing to take on that change?
It really is all about the people. Deputy Secretary of Defense Gordon England, who was my boss before when he was the Secretary of the Navy as well, used to point to an aircraft carrier and say, see that aircraft carrier, big, giant, massive thing, it's not worth anything until it's manned by a crew of 5,000 men and women who are trained and equipped and ready to go. If you don't have the right workforce, you'll never be able to be an effective warfighting force of the future. The interesting thing is that we surveyed the workforce extensively, and the common wisdom was that the number one issue facing us was the graying of the workforce and that the workforce was about to retire. But we find that not to be true for the Department of Defense workforce. The much more pressing issue for us is the need for retraining, that people came into a job and they want to stay, but the skills that they developed initially are not maybe the skill sets that they need for the future. COBOL programming, not such a big thing anymore. Being a knowledge manager, being an information security professional, being a website developer. So it's this retraining of the workforce that's really, you know, front and center for us. It's all about being a learning organization. You know, Peter Drucker was one of the great leadership minds of the 20th century, and he said a lot about the importance of continuous learning, and I've taken that to heart. You know, he said that good management is all about, you know, making people's strengths effective and their weaknesses irrelevant. And that's what a continually learning kind of organization does. And so we are expending a lot of energy helping people get professional certifications, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's something that the government wasn't so good at doing a few years ago. Helping people understand if you want to attain these competencies, this is the career path that you ought to go on, and these are the kinds of training that you need to do, and those sorts of things. Second, related to that, is it's not just about the IT workforce. It's about the entire workforce and their expectations. You know, the average age on an aircraft carrier is 21 or 22 years old. The people that are coming into our organization at that age, what are their expectations? What do they have as the technologies and advantages that they have in their life at home or at school? And are we going to provide them that kind of technology? In my Navy life, our commercial of the day is about accelerating your life, which is a fascinating message because accelerating your life implies that come and join us and you're going to be part of something better, faster. And so we better make sure that we're staying abreast of the kinds of technologies that they're used to using and using very effectively and having them available for when they work here.
Dave, you are the recent recipient of a Federal 100 Award, which goes to individuals who have made a difference in government technology. And as well, you have been a previous John J. Frank Award recipient. Given that peer recognition, first, would you tell us a little something about these awards? But more importantly, what emerging technologies hold the promise for improving federal IT?
You know, both being an Eagle Award winner, the Fed 100 this year, and the John J. Franke Award last year were really great honors for me. It's kind of humbling to be recognized by your peers for making a difference in the IT space, and especially humbling when you these people who have been mentors and friends of yours who have received these awards in the past, and to be able to join their ranks has really been a wonderful experience for me. And it's nice. It's a nice feeling to be recognized for the hard work you do. You know, fascinating thing is, of course, that the hard work that I do pales in comparison with the people that I do the work for. And so, you know, what motivates me every day is the fact that there are tens of thousands of young men and women who are deployed far from home in harm's way defending the nation, and they chose careers of service and sacrifice. And so if I, as the IT guy, can help make that life more effective and better for them, then, you know, that's great motivation to come to work. And so what are we going to give them to have them have a, you know, productive future, right? And I think that's the heart of your question. And I think we've sort of touched on it. You know, this idea about it's a web-based world is really at the heart of it, that if I'm a Naval CEC officer, and I'm stationed in Fallujah with the Marines, and I need to reach back to get knowledge from an Army organization, can I do that? And we're saying, yes, you can. And it requires all of us to be really vigilant about adopting these enterprise-wide solutions, buying the right stuff, being interoperable, making the right choices about when's the right time to buy the one big system versus when's the right time to just ensure interoperability, to allow people to go do things with speed and agility, but have them do it in a way that's interoperable. So portals, service-oriented architecture, web services, the security portfolio will continue to be a growth industry for us. We've made a big difference with Common Access Card and PKI, but there's much more to be done, much more that will be done about attribute management, that is this combination of my identity and attributes about me that ought to give me access to data and the world of biometrics. So there's lots of opportunities for growth.
Dave, you had a very interesting and highly successful career within public service. What advice would you give to someone who's out there perhaps considering a career in public service?
Well, it's been a fabulous opportunity for me. And I think people choose one of two career paths. Some people, you know, have very organized career paths when they plan they're going to do this for 2 years and do that for 3 years and plan out their whole lives. I kind of have managed my career by chaos, you know. one adventure has led to another, and I've been very fortunate in where those adventures have led. I think working for the federal government has been great. It is a wonderful opportunity. You know, you get a chance to get leadership experience very early. in the military and in the civil service. You know, you're a leader of large groups of people at a very young age. And so you learn leadership skills quickly and you get to work on some things that are very big stages. The scope and size of the military departments and the Department of Defense is unrivaled pretty much anywhere. And so you get to be part of something really big. It does take the right blend of patience and impatience. Large organizations are like large ships. They sometimes turn slowly. You need to be impatient because you need to keep pushing for the next thing to happen. You need to have a certain amount of patience, though, so you don't become too frustrating where sometimes you butt heads or don't make progress as fast as you like. But I think it's been a really rewarding experience for me, and I think it's an opportunity for somebody to be a positive force for change and make a difference quickly.
That's fantastic. We've unfortunately reached the end of our time here together this morning, so I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Lynn and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across your federal career.
Thank you. Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Linda. It's been great being here with you. I guess I would offer to the audience that, I'm easy to find. If you have questions, david.wennergren@osd.mil. And if you're interested in any of the things we talked about today, we do have a website. It's www.dod.mil/CIO-NII. And all of the documents that we talked about today, you can find there.
That's fantastic.
Happy hunting.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with David Wennergren, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Information Management and Technology and Deputy CIO. My co-host has been Linda Marshall, partner in IBM's Defense Industry Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.